南无维斯努帕达亚克里斯纳布斯达亚乌塔勒希玛特瓦克提维达安塔斯瓦米Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prachanine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi PaschatyaChaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara ShivasadiGo
Peter
My dear devotees, we will continue today with our deliberations. Not deliberations on our presentation, on what could perhaps be considered the next level in our Krishna consciousness. I'm overwhelmed with the material which I have here and the problem to present something of that makes an indelible impression in your mind in such a short time and under such circumstances. But let us both do our best, the presenter as well as the audience. It is in the Rakesh, there's some feedback. The Gita is considered the essence of the Upanishad. This Gita Upanishad, says the Gita Mahatmya, Bhagavad Gita, is the essence of all the Upanishads. It's just like cow and Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Savo Pani Shadogavo Dokta Gopalanandana Gopalanandana. Gopal, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is the cowherder, the milker. The calf is Parto, Krishna's best friend. Arjuna is just like a calf. And learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of the Bhagavad Gita. Let's boil down the milk of the Bhagavad Gita, and we arrive at the essence of the Gita, the middle sixth chapter, which is chapter 6 to 12, where Bhakti Yoga is described. In the first six chapters, Kama Yoga, and of course some Bhakti is there. In the last six chapter is Jnana Yoga, but flanked by these two and protected by these two, the middle of the Gita deals only with Bhakti. The ninth and the tenth chapter again, they are the middle of this section, and they deal with the essence of the essence. And this essence is brought forth at the ninth chapter, 31st verse, which is repeated in the 18th chapter, in the 65th verse. I'm sorry, this must be very boring for you. I will soon leave the technical field. So that's the essence of the essence of the entire Vedic scriptures. Already the Upanishads are the essence of the Vedas. From the Upanishad, the Gita Upanishad is the essence. From the Gita Upanishads, the middle six chapters 7 to 12 are the essence. And of that, the verse in the ninth chapter, again the middle, we are really making sandesh here, or boiling down the Vedic scripture, is the essence. And that verse, that concentrated essence or quintessence, says, you please say it with me, Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto Matyaji Mang Maskuru Mang Vaisyati Satyam Te Patijane Vyausime. So Krishna says, Manmana, think of me always. Then he says, become my devotee. Is he redundant here? Is he repeating himself? I mean, if one who's always, is not one who is always thinking of Krishna automatically a devotee? No, there is Kamsa who thought 24 hours of Krishna with the idea of fear. I heard when in the afternoon someone of his servants brought him a glass of orange juice, which was a little, you know, yellowish in complexion. Then Kamsa shrieked out loud. His arms were thrown in the air. The poor servant's tablet was thrown in the was thrown on the ground because Kamsa was so Krishna conscious, if you so want, that he saw the dhoti of Krishna approaching him. But he was not a devotee. He was afraid. Hiranyakashipu thought also always of Vishnu, who had killed his beloved brother Hiranyaksha. But he thought, although he thought of the Lord 24 hours a day, he did not think as a devotee. What was his motive? Hatred, yes, and the sense of revenge. Shishupal also thought with always of Krishna, but he had an envious spirit. Krishna was a distant relative to him. And he always gets the cream. Always everyone looks at him. But at me, no one looks. Although I'm also quite handsome and attractive, especially if I use a strong perfume. You know, he felt envious of Krishna. So, for me this means, if a devotee doesn't think of Krishna, what is he? I don't. Even these non-devotees thought of Krishna always, and they obtained Krishna at the very end of their life. Krishna appeared before them. If a devotee thinks, oh yeah, I can ignore this thinking of Krishna, I think he makes a great, great mistake in his life. And he only is someone who needs to learn the essential lesson of Krishna consciousness. I have a friend. His name is Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He was very close to my heart. Do you know that he stayed a whole year in the town of my birth, Hamburg, where he learned the German language and visited a university? Okay, he was preparing to visit the university. We would converse, believe it or not, sometimes in the joy of friendship in German language. I think you didn't know this. He left us very unexpected, as you all know. The last picture of him which we saw was isolated without any devotee association. No one could see him in the isolated quarter of an American hospital, linked on a respirator and highly drugged. When you are so long on a respirator, the body cannot take it any longer unless you are sedated. Now, before his departure from India to the land of his final departure, America, he gave a lecture, which was found later, where he foresaw his death. And it is very moving, and in retrospect, highly, it makes you think. Are you ready? Please fasten your seatbelt, especially the disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. It is something very strong. Today I was reflecting on what do we usually pray. We expect that we can leave our bodies surrounded by devotees. But it could be that we may be in a hospital. No devotee will be allowed to come near us because of the contagious nature of our disease. Do you see? He it is called premonition. He intuits his forthcoming death. He talks about what he will have to face. We won't be able to hear about Krishna from others. We won't be able to think about Krishna. We won't be able, perhaps, to remember Krishna. And then he clarifies what he means. This means others will not be there to remind us of Krishna. Then he says, so we have to depend upon Krishna ourselves. That's the idea of the Alone with Krishna sections. It has not evolved this concept from this lecture. But the idea is we have to learn to depend upon Krishna ourselves. There will be no, sometimes others are not there to remind us. We have to pray to Krishna with all our hearts that Krishna, please, don't allow me to forget you. Please let me remember you at the most difficult time when I'm going to leave my body. Now the situation is such that I have become bereft of the association of your devotees. You have mentioned that the association of devotees is the spiritual sky. Association of devotees is your internal potency. Now I have become unable to have that association. So please, let me remember you on my own. And I depend upon you. Please don't allow me to forget you. Please. This is my only prayer. This is a great Vaishnava. Krishna has prepared him for his extraordinary departure, where he was isolated from the world. This happened in the COVID times. And he had prayed to the Lord very insistently, please let me remember you. Remembrance of Krishna, Krishna Smaranam, is not a luxury. It is a need. Now, what I was asking for a long time, the question, what does it mean to think of Krishna? Of course, we have heard about the process or the method of thinking of Krishna by taking help of what he does throughout the 24 hours of the day. There are books published about this, and there is talk. Now one older devotee, Shivaram Maharaj, publishes a lot on these subjects. That is there. But what would Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, where he addresses one and all, it's really a very inclusive book, not a book for specialists, it's for what does he say on this? What does Prabhupada think about this? You will find a lot of Prabhupada's thought about this in the 18th chapter 65 of the Gita. I will not tell you this because you must do some work on your own. This is a private and personal thing. It can't be taught very easily in a general way. So if you are interested on this subject, you will have to invest a little on your own willpower and volition because of the highly personal nature of this. But here in this public lecture, there he says one should think of Krishna, not of any other forms of Krishna. You please learn from there. It's your homework, which I know only two of you will do, but I say it nevertheless. Here in this forum, I would like to give you a very, very, very doable process, which is given from Sripad Ramanujacharya. I became aware of this by our professor of the Bhagavatam, one of the professors, Bhujan Prabhu is also a professor, Gauranga Darshan, the dean of the Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapit in the Govardhan Eco Village. There is a commentary by a Vaishnava Acharya, Ramanujacharya, on the Gita, who gives a very amazing process. He says, Maya para karuna shushilya sundaya maduya gambirya odaya vatsalya jalado nivishtamana bhava. I know you all understand. He says, to always think of Krishna means to immerse our minds in the seven expansive and deep oceans of Lord Krishna's compassion. Do you like to eat rasagula? Do you know that what is the secret of the rasagula? Of course you know. It's a sponge-like milk product that is put into a sugary solution and allowed to absorb the sugar through its pores, if you so wish, so that it becomes filled with the sugary quality. Here you have another example of immersion. It's water, and I have immersed a tea bag in the water. of a highly highly good herbal tea, and the water has also taken on the brownish quality of this bark from an Amazonas tree, and is now carrying this quality. If I put my mind in the seven expansive and deep oceans of Lord Krishna's qualities, the mind will absorb the qualities. The first quality is Krishna's compassion, karunya. The second quality is Krishna's good character, shushilya. The third quality is Krishna's saundarya, beauty. Tomorrow, if there is a lecture, or the day after tomorrow, I will ask you to remember the three qualities and then give you the remaining four. But if I would tell them all now, we would just immediately forget. So compassion is that quality about which a sadhaka meditates here in this world. Sadhaka means someone who practices Krishna consciousness. Did you know that in the list of the 64 ways in which you do bhakti, was it 64? I think so, no? There is one practice which has to do with Krishna's, with the ocean of Krishna's compassion. It is tat kripekshanam, or expecting the Lord's mercy. If you live in the life and in the mindset that, oh, Krishna is merciful, Krishna is compassionate, and you go like this through your day, my dear devotees, you will be Krishna conscious. This, of course, may mean that you dump your Christian misconception of God, of a distant God, of an angry God, of a highly demanding God, and understand Krishna, who is not seeing the faults of his devotees, but who sees whatever little effort they make in devotional service. There's a verse which I read yesterday. Bhujan Prabhu gave it to me on his tablet device, which says that Krishna's character is such that whatever little good the devotee does, he accepts it. In Krishna's eyes, you are all very dear devotees because you have come to Giriraj. Yes, he sees that as something very glorious. You may think, oh, I'm not so good, I cannot control my mind. I think of going back, when is my plane, going back to America. Really, parts of me don't like this here, and so on. But Krishna sees he or she is here. Wonderful. There is a verse to this end, which you, those who know, please sing it with me. Tate nukampa susumikshamano bunjana evatma kitam vipakam hridvakvapubir viradan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for your causeless mercy, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds. So one is there waiting, while at the same time one suffers a hemorrhoid problem, you know, due to his past misdeeds. But well, Krishna will be merciful to me. And at the end, and the second thing is, one is not just docile, one offers you respectful obeisances with heart, words, and body. Oh Krishna, such a person is surely eligible for you, the shelter of liberation, for that is his rightful claim. Prabhupada says, this simple statement of all the verses of the Bhagavatam should be the guide for all devotees. When do you need a guide? When you come into a new territory. So the bhakti is, from at least for me, a new territory. And this is the guide. You just meditate on Krishna's mercy. And yes, there will be ups and downs, as they can be expected. There will be disappointments. Yes, you are in this world, that is part of the package. You just expect, turn to Krishna. Krishna, please be merciful. And then you will inherit this quality of Krishna. He will take you, because he is Karuna Jaladi, an ocean of compassion. Isn't that wonderful and hopeful? No, yes, middle. I think it is. This is why, personally, I'm in Krishna consciousness. I believe in a merciful God who loves me even if I don't love myself, for all my faults. No, he is so wonderful. He's an ocean of compassion, no limits. When Uddhava remembers this quality of Krishna's extreme mercy to a living entity, he almost faints. The only qualification which you need to be with this quality of Krishna, you need to approach him, you need to go to him. And anyone, the criminal and the saint, who go to a fire, like I'm not very saintly, but I go now to this fire, he feels the heat of the fire. Anyone, a child, a scientist, a non-believer, a believer, an institutionalist, an independent loyalist, and anyone will feel it. So Krishna is accessible, an ocean of compassion. So he gives an example of this. As he thinks about Krishna's quality, he's overcome with love for Krishna, and he quotes this verse: Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam yigam samaya payayat yasadvi lebe gatim dat yuchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, an ulu, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? Just see this. I'm telling this to myself, and I'm also getting into my critical mood of devotees and think they're only dressed like devotees. They are not, nothing is going on inside except for shopping and quarreling. Yes, I can get in a very desolate mood. I'm sorry. So, then I tell myself, but you are also like this. See your dark mind. But anyone who approaches the fire, anyone, he gets to feel the warm and the light. This is a very, Jiva Goswami says, this pastime was told at the beginning of the Bhagavatam to make the devotees hungry for Krishna's mercy because it's so hopeful. She just dressed up. Inside was not good. She wanted to kill Krishna. She was, I mean, we are not in that category. We may have our little problems here and there, but not like that. She attained Krishna. Not just Krishna's darshan, he embraced her. He took her like this and, you know, sucked on her breast. Yes, yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a great thing out of this. He says, Putana only dressed like a devotee, but inside she was hateful of Krishna. Her only qualification was what? She turned to Krishna, yes, Unmukha. She turned to God. See, Krishna doesn't give anyone and everyone mercy. Mercy is not an, here comes my new English word, arbitrary act of God. Arbitrary. Arbitrary. It's something like whimsical, you know. Not that God pushes his mercy on anyone. It can only happen if you become unmukha. You turn to Krishna, you approach Krishna. But if you do that only one thing, it's amazing, because he is a Karunya Jaladi. Jiva Goswami says, this is Kumudya Nyaya, the logic of if Krishna gave Putana his mercy, how much more, Kamuja means how much more mercy he will give to someone who makes an offering with faith, like coming to Krishna and offering your energy bar to Krishna. Yes. How much more will happen if you do this not just with faith, but with bhakti and devotion, and then how much more will you get when you do it with affection like this? How much more someone will get who gives Krishna something that is dear to the Lord, which he likes? Do you know what Krishna in the spiritual world, the greatest service you can do is to bring Radha to Krishna, because Radha is the dearest to Krishna. In the material world, the dearest service you can do is to bring lost souls to Krishna. Krishna says so. In this world, no one is dearer than the one who preaches this secret of the Gita to others. No, you know, in the 18th chapter he says this. But what to speak of the result that those have whose very life is Krishna and who are only happy when they make Krishna happy. This is a gradual progression. But the mercy of Krishna on which we look today comes when we turn to Krishna. When was the last time you turned to Krishna? I believe yesterday, when you were in the Alone with Krishna session. Perhaps this, some of you, when you chanted Hare Krishna, and you didn't chant mechanically, but it was a willful, conscious act of turning to Krishna. Please, Krishna, Here I am, there you are, on the please accept me. No? My dear devotees, what we talk about here is making a bold step towards Krishna. And this is only possible for someone who is confident that Krishna will accept him and that he's not intruding, that Krishna, in fact, likes to be approached personally. If that faith is not there, and if you say, this is not for me, this is too high, unobtainable, you will never actually be able to enter a relationship of Krishna. You have decided it's not possible. Krishna has another mindset. There is a work which is highly recommended reading for those who are interested in the personal nature of Krishna. It's the last work of Rupa Goswami. It's called Utkalika Valari. And there he says, katam idam api vanchitum nikrishta sputam ayam ahati jantu utamaham guru lagu kanuna jita tanato jayati taramatava kripa duty evam. It's verse 40, and he says, I'm a jantu. Jantu means someone who's born. This is my only qualification. I was born a human being. But I have something, oh, protect us from suffering. I know this person, this jantu, should not desire at all this the service which should be desired by the most elevated devotees. I know. I'm so fallen, you're so high. Most elevated devotees may not desire this, but what can I do? This one quality of you, that you are an ocean of compassion, inspires me to move forward. The luster of your mercy, where you don't distinguish between elevated and fallen people, it shines so excellently that I dare to move forward. There are a few forms of Krishna's mercy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 forms of mercy. The first form, we only deal with the first form because, and perhaps the second, the sixth form, is karuna. Karuna comes out of a heart that is soft or tender, and it causes the person who has this karuna to do what is helpful and favorable for the object of compassion, even if that means that this person has to make a self-sacrifice. I'm thinking of Prabhupada in this relationship. Prabhupada's heart was very tender. Do you know this? Yes, he was the world acharya, and sometimes he had to say, rascal, nonsense, Krishna didn't send me any good first-class men, and such statements he made. But the underlying quality, which we always saw as his disciples, was his amazing mercy. Once an older Prabhupada disciple who had taken again to drugs, which happens, visited the Calcutta temple, and the temple president saw that he was going out and he came back with red eyes. Hashish and marijuana makes that to the eyes. I heard. So the temple president said, Prabhupada, he says he's your disciple and he should have the guest room. You know, as Prabhupada disciples can be sometimes quite demanding. You have seen that maybe in your life. So he wanted to be in that guest room. What should I tell him? So this question was brought to Tamal Krishna Goswami, the secretary of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada answered him, tell the temple president that this is a nonsense and I reject him. He must leave. Ramakrishna Maharaj went back to the phone and he thought on the way, that doesn't really sound like Prabhupada. So he went back and said, will you reject any of your disciples? Just go. Go. Don't show your face again before me. Go. Go. Yes, it's a go. Go, go, go. Will you do this? Prabhupada said with tears in his eyes, of course not. I cannot. This is the tenderness of the heart. It's very tender, very soft, which is always doing what is good for the other, what is in the interest. And that type is what we talk about. Karuna Jaladi. Krishna has an ocean of compassion. He is prepared to overlook the offenses, grave offenses, and see them as insignificant. Whereas he sees the little service as very significant. And the example for all generations of Bhagavatam readers to see is again the Ulu, no, the Bhutana. There's another type of Krishna's mercy which is a little bit more conditional. It's prasada. It's grace which is given as a result of having been pleased, prasidati. This for us is a very important understanding. When we do our, if you want to have Krishna's prasad, which I think every one of us is craving always for, because it's so tangible, you know, we can put our hand on this. Yes, that's Krishna's prasadam, mahaprasadam. Yes, I feel it. It has a texture. I can grasp it and can put it in my mouth. But if you want to eat prasad, my dear devotees, you have to please Krishna first. The offering must be done in a mood of pleasing. Therefore, great devotees don't eat what anyone has cooked, because they know, and if anyone cooks, the devotees who are careful, they don't eat when the food has the fault of being cooked by someone who didn't want to please Krishna, who wanted to only please his senses. Some devotees will never eat restaurant food because they know this was, how can you offer something that was cooked to please the customers? You know, prasad is Krishna's mercy. As prasad, and I'm not speaking about food here only, I'm just using it because we are used to refer to prasad as food. No, Krishna must be pleased by seva, by food, by cloth, and so on, and then he gives you his prasad. But that's not the only form of mercy. That's the only form which the Christian informed mind can understand. Karuna is something else. It is absolutely causeless. And the first thing about which a devotee who wants to think of Krishna, the first quality that warms him up, that soaks his heart, that makes him Krishna consciousness, is that Krishna is causelessly mercy. He is ocean, jaladi means ocean. You know, Jaladuta, the ocean messenger. That's what brought Krishna to Prabhupada to us. The Karuna Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of compassion. That's how you meditate in this world. Because maybe we cannot always please Krishna by our activities. We are so beginning. After having said this, we want to meditate about Krishna. As being very compassionate. Are you still with me, or you are so silent? I'm not used to you being so silent. You are listening. That's good, good, good. Just checking. My dear devotees, I want to do a meditation with you now about this merciful Lord. This I do tomorrow. It's too intellectual at the let's get ready to see what is Krishna doing now. What is the time? It's between 8 o'clock, yes. Good. Good, 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 good. I wanted to first, because we go now into the pastimes of Krishna, I want to go by the mercy of great devotees. So let us chant the first four verses of the Gopi Gita. Yes? Can you please take it out? Those of you who are mobile telephone devotees, you can make maybe a photograph. You know, who have not who use this, and you don't have it. One moment. No, it must be higher, please. Jaya jaya te edikam. Still higher, please. Yes, now we have it. Let us collect our mind. We will chant a simple mantra, the name of Balaram, or the name of Radharaman. I say it one time. It's a monosyllable mantra which collects our mind. Again, sit straight. And one more time. Deep breath. Jayate te dikam janmana vraja shrayata indira shashvat atrahi. Everyone, please. Jayate Tedikam Janmana Vraja Shrayata Indira Shashvat Atrai Daita Drishyatam Dikshuta Vakas Tvaidrita Savas Tvam Vichinvate Aita Drishyatam Dikshuta Vakas Vaivita Savas Tvam Vichindate. And now all of us together, Sharadudashate, everyone, Sadhu Jata Sad Sarasi Yodara Shri Musharisha Suratanatate Shukadasika Varadanignato Neakimvara Vishajala Chasad Vashamarudra Vaidyutanalad Vrishamayatmaja Vishvatomayat Rishamatevayat Rakshitamu. Now this goes up. Nakalu Gopika Nannano Bhava Akila Deina Antaran Madrik. Again it goes up. Vikana Satito Vishvagoptaye Sakaudeva Sadvata. Yes, it's beautiful, no? My dear devotees, this is Krishna's dearest devotees who sit together in the moonlit night on the crystal white shore of the Yamuna river. They only have one desire, to be associated with Krishna, who had caught them but then disappeared. I think this is, all of you have heard the call of Krishna, but perhaps not. You are not meeting him so much, or missing him. You're missing him, perhaps. So here the gopis they address him, O beloved, your birth in the land of Braja has made it exceedingly glorious. They say here that Krishna is not born in Mathura, but in Vraja. And thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It's an auspicious land. And then they explain their heart. It's only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you. So please show yourself to us. Beautiful prayer. They appeal to Krishna's karuna, his extraordinary mercy, and so on. So in this time, the gopis in Uppercut Vrindavan, they are in Nanda Bhavan. They have gone with Srimati Radharani to cook Krishna's breakfast. So breakfast is cooked, and Krishna has eaten. There has been a lot of joking in the breakfast. They had made the friends of Krishna had made fun of the voracious eater. Who is that eater? The Brahmana Madhu Mangal, yes. And Subal had said there is no difference between Madhu Mangal and a monkey. A monkey always wants to eat. And Madhu Mangal said, yes, food is Brahman. It's energy, spiritual energy. By ingesting it, we become luminous. And they were, eating, joking about food with many clever ways, and now Jambula, a servant of Krishna, had come forward after the eating, and he had taken his hand and massaged Krishna's belly in this direction. You know, Krishna was here, and let us say here. And Jambula had come and massaged his belly for better digestion. And then Krishna had gone after the breakfast, and he was lying now on a spacious bed. Good. But now Yashoda sees Radha and the Sakis, and her heart just melts. She calls Lalita and the other Sakis and says, oh girls, you are like my daughters. Why are you so shy before me? I can't understand. Are we not family? Then Yashoda takes many oaths. You must eat now. Give up your shyness. If you... and so on, and she, the gopis, are then fed with delightful feasts and so on, Yashoda has one secret desire. Do you know Yashoda's secret desire? Yes, she wants that Krishna marries Radharani. That is very much in her mind. She hankers to see Radha, who is so qualified, who is so sweetly smiling, so softly speaks always to her. When Radha sees Yashoda, she immediately offers her obeisances. To express her desire, Yashoda had Dhanishta one day present a gift box for Radha. But when Krishna found out that Dhanishta was bringing a gift box for Radha, he had told Dhanishta, wait, please come to my room. He had gotten up from bed, come to my room. And he had looked in the gift box. It was a huge gift box, which Yashoda wanted to give because of this desire to marry the two. And Krishna said, what is in there? And there was a beautiful zari. He put the zari out. There was beautiful bangles, all gifts which would please Radha. He took it out. There was... things to use for the eyes, took it out. There was jewelry there, he put it out, Dhanishtha said, these are gifts for Radha, which your mother has prepared. And Krishna smiled, I know the one gift which would please Radha most. Then what is that? Just watch me and then call Abhimanyu to carry the gift box to Radha. So with this, Krishna went into the empty box and smiling very jubilantly, he lowered the lid. And Dhanishtha thought, whoa. Okay. He called Abhimanyu, and Abhimanyu, this so-called shadow husband of Radha, put the box up, and now Krishna made himself very heavy. You know, he can make himself heavier than all the universes together if he wishes. Abhimanyu, this is a very heavy box. It must be solid gold for my... Krishna made it heavier and heavier. And okay, then Abhimanyu finally arrived at Radha's interior rooms and said, Radha, there is a gift box packed by Mother Yashoda, and I think I have work to do at the cow barns. He left this inner room. There was Srimati Radharani dressed for inner rooms with her sakis. They were all dressed for inner rooms, not for public appearance. And then Srimati Radharani unearthed the box. Oh, it is a box brought by Radha, by Yashoda, and she actually, I heard, she offered her obeisances to the box because it comes from Radha. From Yashoda. So she opens the lid and out jumps. You know everything already. Yes, out jumps. And this is now one certain mood. Radharani, she is there in the room pining for Krishna, longing for Krishna. And then Krishna comes inconceivably out of the box. First, they cannot speak. They are so surprised, Radha and the gopis, because they love him so much. And now, suddenly, without any preparation, the object of love is before them. Krishna has seen their pining and longing. And then Krishna makes a joke. He said, how did I come here? Radha and your gopis, you are so heavy and so dangerous for any boy like me. I was just innocently playing in this fragrant box to make my body a little bit more fragrant. Then all of a sudden the lid closed and I was kidnapped from Nandagram here by your machinations. Machinations means intrigues and so on. the gopis just burst out in laughter, and laughter. This is, yes, this Lord is the, he wants to please his devotees in the spiritual world, and he wants to save his devotees in the material world. They only have to learn to turn to him. And, no. They only have to learn to turn to him. And this we will do now. I have a very beautiful book which I highly recommend, Towards His Smiling Face. It's a book written by Bhuijan Prabhu. It is, don't worry, it's not so heavy. It is 1,000 something pages, but it's light paper, but wonderful content, and there is a meditation inside which I would like guide you in at the end. Are you into it? Good, I'm also. Can we do the same melody, but a little deeper? Because for meditation we need it deep. The sound. Low sound, because we will all sing afterwards, and when we come out of meditation, everything has calmed down. Na, na. One moment, we just have to find this. Na, 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 na. Yes, this is good. Na, 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 na. Which tonality, please? What? Is this too loud or? It's all right, no? Yes, middle, no. Yeah. Because I can't see, I only hear this sound, but you hear from here the sound. Is not too loud? Good. Because for me it's too loud, but it doesn't. For you, you hear different then. The question which is discussed, can we at all meditate about Krishna? The absolute truth, he is beyond words and beyond the mind, isn't it? So can the mind capture him, or can he do this? And the answer is given that no, the material mind cannot think of Krishna. Just like the material tongue cannot see Krishna, chant Krishna's name. However, my dear devotees, listen to this delightful secret. When Krishna sees that his devotees make an effort to think of him, then he becomes merciful and thinks, my devotees want to meditate about me. They can't even meditate about my effulgence, the Brahman. They are not up to that even. So they think they meditate about me. But I am very merciful inclined towards my devotees, so I will give them the pleasure of my presence in their mind. No? So please sit down tall. This time we will just enter a meditative state by chanting. Please sing along with me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Please, Krishna will continue to play without having to be reminded, like always. So, as you chant now the second time the mantra, please try to bring your mind to every single name. We will hear it long, loud enough played. Yes. Now, please, everyone. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Dear devotees, please enter calm breathing. You can start by long exhales. Whenever you exhale, lengthen your exhale, please. This will automatically slow down your inhale and deepen it. Deep breathing for just a minute. Bring your mind to your breath, not to I like this or I do not like this, just to your breath. When you inhale, know you're breathing in. When you exhale, know you're breathing out. Please don't be embarrassed if you have to cough. It is normal when we relax our system. But keep with the exercise of breathing in and out. Now visualize before your eyes a lotus flower. Perhaps you see a nice lake. Or a pond. And on it is a lotus flowers, no? They have a pinkish hue. Yes. Now before your mind's eye, see or visualize a rain cloud. It is heavy with water and therefore quite bluish or dark, dark bluish even. Perhaps you have seen this when you are from India in the monsoon time. Those who are not here during this time, in America, you have seen perhaps a rain cloud. And now, coming out of the rain cloud, see a lightning, a flash. Visualize now a beautiful throne. It is still empty. Perhaps golden with reddish cushions or any throne. And on it, now the throne becomes full, Lord Govinda. You all have seen paintings of the Lord. See how he has lotus eyes. That means eyes that are very wide and open, like the leaf of a lotus flower. Please look at his transcendental body. It resembles a dark rain cloud. But somehow it's not dark, it is shiny also, his form. And see his dress now. He wears a dhoti like lightning, very yellow, very effulgent. He has two hands and he wears a forest flower garland. He has lotus eyes. He has a cloud-like body. There's lightning. And he looks at you as you address him through the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sing Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare
as you continue the kirtan, and please remember what you have heard about the mercy of Krishna, and you might quickly connect with Krishna through meditating and asking for Krishna's mercy. That is very easy meditation, to absorb your mind in the ocean of Krishna's Karuna Jaladi. This will be very good, to absorb, be a rasgulla with your mind. Throw it in the ocean of thinking of Krishna's mercy. And Gokrishna will soon sing, and we will all join him in singing.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
listen.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Krishna. Hare Krishna. I thank you very, very much. I hope it was useful. My intention in this class was to introduce you to a quality of Krishna that encourages the devotee at once to turn to him and give up the hesitancy to not turn to him because he feels so fallen and so far away and so anyways and that reason and that reason. Further, we were hearing about Krishna's unconditional mercy, and then we were also hearing about what is going on in the spiritual world eternally, and we were then exercising our mind to try to think of Krishna. If it was difficult for us to call the beautiful form of Krishna in our mind, then we could always resort to chanting in a prayerful way, something which is very easily given to the souls in Kali Yuga. The chanting of the kirtan purifies our mind so that it will naturally and spontaneously one day meditate about Krishna. I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful day. May it be a blessed day for you. Hare Krishna.